So if someone in marketing feels anxious every time they make phone calls, but if that person finds that every time they do it, they get anxious, it's like, well, that's where I could come in and show them and work with them and walk them through the process, you know, to figure out what that anxiety is coming from and help to neutralize it.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. It's Rick Nusky. I am back again doing everything that I love to do with the My Future Business Show. And on today's call, I'm with Jennifer Merritt. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Thank you for coming onto the show today. I was just mentioning earlier, I love that picture frame behind you. And we're going to be talking about stresses in business. We're going to be talking about how we engage with people and how we use certain therapies and methods to, I guess, make our business experience easier. But before we jump into the core of the call, Jennifer, I was wondering if you could share a little bit about yourself with the My Future Business audience.
I would love to. So my name is Jennifer Merritt, and my business is emofreefit.com. So what I got into healing arts when I was in high school, almost 18, 19 years ago. And every few years I've studied something different. So I've studied massage, hypnotherapy, yoga, Ayurveda, emotional freedom technique. And I just want to share these tools with other people so that, you know, we can all be doing things to reduce stress and feel more present and, you know, just begin to cultivate more peace instead of things to do.
Yes, I tell you what, and you've hit the nail on the head. It's one of the things, it's so easy to become busier in a business sense, isn't it? Instead of unwinding a little bit.
True.
Yeah, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what the best way is to start this call. We spoke about it a little bit earlier about how we can use these techniques to improve the way we run our businesses, how we market, and those types of things. I guess a really good place to start is to share a little bit about the process you take clients through who are looking to go through that unwinding process.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, it's like I find that people are everyone needs something different, mm-hmm. You know? And we all are motivated by working and making money and getting what we need so that we can do the things we want to do in life. And we live mostly in a culture where feelings and emotions and things at home stay at home. And, you know, the reality is it's like we can't separate some of the things at home from work. And we don't often leave work stresses at work. And so the things that I do, you know, like teaching people yoga, of course, that's a stress relief. And offering meditations and hypnotherapy and doing tapping. You know, these are all things that, you know, help people shift their perspective. So it's like in a work setting, let's say people, you know, are trying to focus and they want to focus, mm-hmm. but they can't because there's something going on that is just kind of needing attention in their mind. And, you know, so when you change your perspective around whatever that is that's kind of plaguing your thought process, then, you know, obviously then if your mind is clear, you can focus more.
Yes, absolutely. And it's very easy nowadays with all these external sensory factors, isn't it, to become overwhelmed to the point where, you know, you suddenly feel tired. I think energy has a lot to do with this. How do you go about identifying people's energy blocks and things like that?
Well, so someone will come to me with something that they want change around. And, you know, although I have a lot of expertise around understanding the energy body, mm-hmm. you know, for example, for people who are newer to understanding energy, it's not some like hokey thing.
No.
You know, there's meridians And there's nadis, and nadis is the word used for lines of energy in India, and meridians is the word used for energy in many different traditions. Mm-hmm. And it's called chi, it's called, you know, energy, there's chakras. So it's, you know, ultimately someone can be tired because they are digesting something that is hard for their body to digest, or they're having inflammation response to it. Someone can be tired, obviously, because of lack of sleep, you know, and then somebody can be tired because there's something that they're not wanting to deal with, you know. So I was talking about earlier today with someone, it's like often, you know, people tell themselves, I can't relax, I can't relax, I can't relax. And it's because they have like an association that the only time to relax is sleeping, you know. But the reality is when we relax, we think more creatively, we're more open to different possibilities, we see things we don't see otherwise, you know. And so in a work setting, you know, there are companies now that are actually creating rooms so that people, you know, if companies are expecting their employees to work 12, 15-hour days, you know, not possible for our human bodies, you know. So what they do, even if you're working a 12-hour day, it's like a lot of companies are saying, we want your mind to be sharp. So they're bringing things into the workplace, like they'll bring in a chef once a week, you know, or they'll bring in, they'll have family dinner night. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, it's like our mind can tell us we don't need these things. We don't need the community, or we don't need sleep, or we don't need the food. But that's the mind. The body is like, yeah, I do need the sleep. I do need the healthy food that is not in a box.
Yes.
I do need good communication and speaking my heart. You know, like the body will keep telling you that. So I think a lot of companies that are more innovative and that are asking a lot of their employees are also doing things to take care of their employees. Like some companies actually have rooms people can go and sleep because they can take a 10-minute power nap, but then they function better. So, you know, all kinds of things that...
Do you wonder if they are actually like valid ideas? Do you think that some of these initiatives that large organizations make are actually negative, have a negative impact on the body, do you think?
I think when you're when we're talking about an organization and a large group, you know, that it would be up to the people that are creating the program of health and wellness for their employees. It would be up to them to decide what are the needs of the people that are working here and how can I best create that. You know, so when I say like some companies are creating rooms for people to rest, that's not going to work in a company where, you know, the majority of the employees are just not going to work. You know, obviously that would work in a company where people are there and they want to get stuff done and they're already putting the time in and they're going to do it and everyone knows they're going to do it, you know. And then, yeah, those are the people that if they take a 10-minute rest, you know, it's not pulling them away from work. It's helping them function better.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a work culture where the majority of the people working there are really just waiting to get through the day to get home, I wouldn't recommend putting in a room where people can sleep. I would recommend something that is going to bring people together, create community, give people a reason to want to be there and a reason to, like, that would be a whole different problem you would want to bring in. But you can still support people in being healthier. You can support, companies can still create, you know, things like, so in the work that I do, know, it's like I'll go into a company and I'll do work where I'll do tapping with people or I'll do guided meditations and I'll help people shift their perspective, you know. And this is a newer thing that companies are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they find that, you know, like you had mentioned someone in marketing reducing stress. So if someone in marketing feels anxious every time they make phone calls, but they happen to be the person in charge of, you know, making phone calls to fund, you know, because maybe they're in charge of creating funding for a program.
Mm-hmm.
But, and so they have to do calls sometimes. But if that person finds that every time they do it, they get anxious, it's like, well, that's where I could come in and show them and work with them and walk them through the process, you know, to figure out what that anxiety is coming from and help to neutralize it.
Mm.
So a lot of what I do is like It's not like I might ask someone to like focus on a feeling that doesn't feel good, but at the same time, I'm doing things to help them feel better.
Yeah.
You know, so the emotional freedom technique, you're tapping on points, and the points of on the body help calm the central nervous system. So when you're doing that, a lot of times people are like, wow, this is actually really relaxing. And then because they're relaxing, their mind gets open to new possibilities. And then along with other meditations, now that same person that was having a hard time making phone calls is, they might at some point, I'm not saying in like one session, it's like a change. It could be,
yeah.
You know, it depends on why. But, you know, if they're making calls and all of a sudden they're not walking into it with anxiety, they're walking into it like, I'm looking forward to meeting the person on the other end of this call.
Yes.
You know, how much more successful will work be? You know, so, and the more, like, this isn't just me doing this work. Lots of people are waking up to doing this work. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a thing that we can be non-competitive about. We all need. And,
yep.
And a lot of companies are, adding this work to what they're doing and helping the people that they work with get more efficient and better. And then also reducing stress at home. So that way, when they are at work, they're focused.
I'm taking some ideas away here, some thoughts, Jennifer. Thank you so much for sharing this wonderful insight. There's the physiological, the psychological, and I guess the spiritual side of all of this. Now, I wonder if we can deep dive a little bit into this tapping process, because that stuck out for me. What is that about?
Sure. So there are points on the body that have, like, each point, it's called, like I said, there's nadis, and then in India, and then there's meridians in Chinese medicine. And so each point in the emotional freedom technique process is mm-hmm. the end of one of these lines of energy. So, and when I say lines of energy, it's like, it's not just, you know, something that can't be seen or tested. If you go to the hospital and you test your heart, they're partly testing lines of energy. When they test your brain, like, these machines are perceiving energy.
Yeah.
So it is measurable. And so whenever we have something that is either a thought or a feeling, or a feeling caused from a thought, you know, it's, and there's a current through our body, you know, that might give us too much energy, or it might make us feel tired. And when you're tapping on the point, if it's too much, it calms it. And if it's depleted, it helps bring what it needs to it. You know, so in our bodies, where things are overflowing, we don't need to know. That's the thing, is we don't need to know. Is it in excess? Is it depleted? If you're going to, you know, an Ayurvedic doctor, or if you're going to an acupuncturist, they'll know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll know if you're releasing heat, what organ they're working on. You know, they have that amazing body of knowledge. What we're doing is very, very simple. It's basic, which makes it accessible to people, which means the more you do this, the more you can do this on your own. I'm showing the points.
Yeah.
And the points have changed. There are different people that have built upon emotional freedom technique or kind of made it their own. And my view is, if it works and it's helping people, then good, let's do it. You know, like, just do what works. You know, and so I studied the method that Gary Craig offered, and then as the method morphed over time, you know, I've integrated it, and there's occasionally when I'll see reasons to bring back things that, like, there's eye exercises that you might do sometimes in the work that I offer. And these things help balance the two hemispheres of the brain,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's like some of the points are really good for circulation. Some of the points are really good for the lungs. So if you're tapping on a point and the reflex of that point is to support the rib cage and feeling more freedom,
yep.
then when you breathe, you're getting more oxygen, which of course is calming. It reverses our fight or flight response, because when our fight or flight response is in gear, we're going to breathe more shallow. So if we're tapping and our lungs are now able to function better and our circulation is functioning better, then we're reducing our fight or flight response.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard of, like, the points before? Have you had any experience with
Yeah, those? Look, I've interviewed a number of people, and I've had... acupuncture, and I've had a number of different therapy sessions for what's the, not iridology, I've had that before, but also where they do pressure points in your toes. And all of a sudden, I recall an experience, Jennifer, where this specialist would grab my big toe and I started crying like a baby. Is that, he said he'd released some sort of blockage in my body. And from that moment in time, and this was a long time ago, I was a firm believer that this was helpful. And that's part of the reason I enjoy having these conversations. So again, it's wonderful to have you on the show. Now, I wonder, just assume that I was a person you've never met before. I know about you. I've heard about your good work. What is the process that you take me through when I first see you?
Well, so first there's talking. I'm not a therapist, you know, so it's like, but there is talking because I want to understand, you know, why am I helping you, you know? So the first part of the session is just me watching, listening, getting to the understanding of like, what is our outcome that we're looking for from the session? You know, my sessions tend to be, you know, like I tend to jump in with people who are really ready for change, and I'll offer a lot of different techniques, not just one. It's based on what's coming up. So a lot of times people aren't coming to me all the time. They're coming to me because they want something specific, like, you know, they have someone in their life that they have stress around, and, you know, or they, like earlier I gave the example of stress around making a phone call, you know, and then it's like I also have series of classes, you know, so it's like somebody wants to really jump into blocks around keeping their house organized. I have a 6 series of private sessions where people can jump into, where each session I have a different topic of why, and addressing the different reasons why that might be a trouble for someone. And then I also have one that is around blocks around money. You know, so it's like doing tapping around debt, doing tapping around the belief of how much someone can have, doing tapping around like handing someone money, like just feeling like it's amazing how many people like have emotional and beliefs around things like this that are actually really limiting. I had someone who had a vow when, you know, she was a child, she had made a vow that if she ever had money, she would do something with it. And, you know, in her 60s, she came to me like, I'm so stressed around money. And in the session, we were able to like it came up, it really got to the root for her of like this promise that she made to herself. So we did EFT to clear the energy around that, you know, along with some hypnosis meditations. And then, you know, it was funny because honestly, at the end of session, I walked out and found $20 on the ground. So there's like, there's like a mad.
I'll go in more of those sessions, I think.
and I'm not going to say that everyone's going to have the experience that she had, but she ended up inheriting enough money within a month, that got her out of debt. It was really, really quite incredible. And I've definitely witnessed magic like that for people. And you never want to go into healing work with an expectation of something to happen. You know, it's like I invite people to come into it with an open mind, come into it skeptical. You definitely don't need to believe in this work to benefit from it. But you have to do the work, you know? So it's like a lot of it is I might ask someone to visualize something. You know, they might not be visual. They might just kind of get concepts that run through their head.
Yeah.
But if they do the process, then they'll be able to notice what happens when they do the process. There are sometimes people who are newer or they don't know, they'll think they're doing the process, but because they don't know, they're thinking, well, I don't know why I'm doing this. I wonder what that meant. And instead of saying, I wonder what that meant so that we could talk about it, you know, they might just think it the entire time, but then they never really did it, you know, they were what, like, ultimately in the work I do, what you're doing is what you're thinking about, is what you're, you know, so if because the technique is a lot of using your thoughts to shift your thoughts.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. I just had a thought. It's one thing to think it, okay? It's another thing to say it, and it's another thing to write it all together. Is there validity in, you know, grabbing a pen and actually writing down these thoughts as part of your process for someone? Just wondering.
So I think what you're saying is, it kind of leads me to think, I want to expand on what you're saying in the sense that, you know, to witness something in your imagination is one thing, to witness it in your world is another thing, you know? So when you start to have action around it, or when someone else starts to have a conversation with you around it. But the thing is, you know, like I had someone earlier that was telling me she sent so many things to clear here. And I said, out of, you know, and it's been like maybe, I don't know how long, I'll make it up, like 10 years. It's been a really long time. She's been dealing with this fear. And, you know, so I asked her, what is the thing that you have felt change? Like, you know, if you're using Reiki, Reiki works. Reiki clears the energy. Mm-hmm. I know lots of people who have had experiences with Reiki or pranic healing or another form of energy healing where they witnessed a change and they felt better. I've literally seen people with back pain not have back pain, and we both witnessed the change through Reiki, you know. And I really believe it's because we both witnessed the change. We both felt it. And that, you know, it's like, and that you can't make up.
It's not coincidence, is it?
It's not coincidence. It's not imagination. It's a feeling of change. And then that feeling of change becomes something that people identify in the world as different. And they need to go out in the world and kind of reorganize how they relate to certain things, whatever it is that they're making change around.
Yep.
You had mentioned your reflexology and
that's the word, reflexology.
Yeah, you were mentioning the reflexology and how a point was able to move something that gave you the sensation of releasing through tears.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ayurveda teaches us that we have 13 different ways that we're letting go, and you know, tears is one of them. And it's literally a need for our eyes. We have tear ducts, and it's a release that you know, it's a body need. It's not necessarily a mind need, and a mind need, and you know, our need for cultural acceptance might be knowing how to have tears in a way that can be done in a safe place, and knowing, you know. So it's, but I wanted to share your experience. Did you, when the release happened, did it feel comfortable and good for you to go there?
In reflecting on it, at the time, I was in disbelief that it could be so powerful, because I was in a mindset initially that I didn't believe that it could do anything. And at the moment that it occurred, I was feeling a little bit stunned, to be honest. And I was sitting there thinking, why am I crying? It was just more of a question than anything else. Why am I crying? But moments later, I did. I felt better. I think I always feel better after a cry now, because I can recognize the power of letting go in this way.
Yeah, I find that there's a different experience of crying when you're doing healing work, and it's because something is there that you're letting go of, that you're willing and ready to let go of. And I don't mean willing on a rational mind level. And
yes.
Came up on a visceral level in that kind of organic way.
Yep.
You know, you learn to sense that it's moving through you and not just like regurgitating.
Yeah.
Whereas there are kinds of tears where, you know, it's like the mind is repeating a story, and it's repeating a story, and the story is just causing pain. And, you know, and then when you have the attempt to get it out by like maybe talking to friends, where you're just, you leave the conversation and you're not feeling better. You know, the difference in the healing work when you witness the change is when you walk away from it, you feel change and you feel better. You know, like I make it my responsibility when I'm working with people that it's like, I always say I'm a tour guide, you know, except instead of taking people on a tour through, you know, a mountain, I'm taking people on a tour through like a process of how to create change. And I make it, it's my responsibility to always make sure someone's leaving feeling better than before, you know, and that sometimes means knowing to stop and give people things that will just help them feel good. So like positive affirmations while tapping is awesome. And scripts sometimes while tapping are helpful. I don't really recommend it, you know, I recommend it for scripts with EFT. For people who know EFT or have done it, they've likely come across some kind of tapping script, and it is a great way to learn. But when you're doing it, after you're done learning how to do the tapping and after you're done like learning different communication on how to communicate yourself through change, you know, then you use the scripts, but just every line, ask yourself, is this my truth? You know, is this my truth? What's more true to me? You know, because people can do tapping scripts and they think that they're resolving something, but they're just giving themselves like a temporary feel better, or they don't feel better at all. And it was like, you know, but the more you're like speaking your truth when you're doing it and you're really honoring what's going on with you, the more you're going to get the change that you're looking for, and not on a temporary level, but on a, you know, on the level that you don't have to think about 3 years later. You're just like, yeah, I still don't have that problem. Or it was such an easy shift that you're not even aware that you don't have that problem. You're just moving through the world without it and not even thinking about it.
It seems to me that it becomes, after some practice, somewhat intuitive, doesn't it?
Yeah, I hope for everyone, you know, to be able to, that does this, that can learn their own intuition to move through things easily and, you know, in their own time and space so that they're comfortable having something besides just wanting to move away from it or resist it, you know?
So I notice here that you have merit massage and yoga as well as Emo Free Fit. Can we talk a little bit about your merit massage and yoga website for a moment?
I have a massage studio here. It's in Glenside, Pennsylvania.
Fantastic.
And I offer sessions through there for massage. I teach 2 yoga classes a week. I teach at Soul Center, which is where I'm at right now.
Fantastic.
I just
taught
a yoga class and a meditation class right before our call. And on Thursdays, I teach a class at Mishana Yoga in Philadelphia.
That's great. Well, look, I've had a wonderful time digging a little bit deeper into these amazing techniques. You're a wonderful soul. Thank you very much for spending some time with me on the My Future Business Show today.
Thank you. I would love to offer, you know, everyone who's listening to this, you know, if like I have 3 emotional freedom technique classes that are done online through Zoom, like we're recording our call, and they're group classes, but they're small, so everyone gets, they get something out of it. It's not going to be as much as a private session, but it's a really lovely way to learn. And so anyone listening to this is welcome to have, email me, and I'll, on my emofreefit.com website, so it's emofreefit.com, and just drop me an email, mention this talk, and I'll send you a free pass for my group class. It's Mondays at 10, Tuesdays at 12, and Wednesdays at 6:30.
That's wonderful. Again, as is normally the case, I will make sure to create all of the links and put them on the My Future Business website so that you can get in contact with Jennifer. Again, Jennifer, thank you for spending some time with me on the show today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.